screwdriver while he jammed the other one in the lock. At least the nursing home had plenty of random tools like eyeglass kits. He'd been able to pilfer a couple tiny screwdrivers without any trouble. They worked better than paperclips, but picking a commercial lock was a slow process, one that required more patience than Colt usually possessed. But Danny would need access to food and water and anything else they could find. He couldn't leave her with nothing. After another few minutes of agonizing scraping, the lock finally clicked. Bingo.
Took you long enough. I thought you were supposed to be an expert or something.
Not at this. Give me a nighttime assault on a compound just off the coast and I'm your guy. Picking the lock of a store in the States? Not so much. He pulled the door open and held it wide. After you. Danny ducked inside the dark store and Colt followed, making sure to lock it again immediately. As long as they kept their light use to a minimum, they should be able to case the place uninterrupted.
Now what?
Danny stood beside Colt, her thumbs tucked into her pockets, waiting. We raid. Colt headed straight toward the rear of the store, eyes constantly scanning for a hidden threat. Breaking into an office store wasn't the same as urban warfare, not by a long shot, but the premise was the same. Get in, secure the target, get out. That's all they were doing today. Danny stayed close to his heels, never more than a step or two behind. At the far wall, he stopped and flicked on a flashlight. What do you see? She glanced up at the wall.
A bunch of cleaning supplies.
Look harder. Colt waited while Danny stared straight ahead. The second she saw it, she smiled.
First aid kits.
Good. What else?
Hand sanitizer. Wipes.
She rushed over to the next shelving area past a section of clearance stickers.
Toilet paper and paper towels and cups and silverware.
She turned to him.
How did you know all of this would be here?
I'm observant. He motioned toward the middle of the store. Let's go find some backpacks and we can put a few things together. 20 minutes later, they had backpacks filled with first aid kits and sanitizer. Danny could barely zip hers shut.
I wish this place sold luggage.
Colt hadn't thought of it before, but Danny had a good point. They do, sort of. Come on. He found the aisle after a few minutes of searching. Grab one of those. We can find a box cutter and the packing supplies to get it open. Danny pulled a black hunk of plastic off the shelf as Colt retraced his steps to the packing supplies. He grabbed a couple rolls of duct tape and two box cutters before heading back. With a few swipes of the knife, he cut the zip ties keeping the black crate flat and popped it open. Danny nodded in recognition.
One of my teachers used to have something like this. She would wheel it in full of supplies or graded papers every Monday morning.
Colt nodded. They'll come in handy for transporting water.
The nursing home has water. Why would we need any more?
At some point, it's going to run out, and you'll need to find some on your own. This store has a ton.
I saw the refrigerated cases up front, but there can't be more than 50 bottles between them.
Not those. Colt led Danny to the other corner of the store and stopped in front of the office cooler section. 15 5-gallon water containers right here. That's enough water for one person for 2.5 months, longer if you can serve. Danny stared up in wonder, and Colt couldn't help but smile. It didn't take much to impress the kid, but he gave himself a small pat on the back all the same. If even a portion of all he showed her sank in, she might have a chance to make it after he left.
Do you really think we should be doing this?
What? Danny hesitated.
Stealing.
Colt wondered if she would ever ask. I don't have a good answer, to be honest. At some point, it comes down to survival. Would you rather steal and survive, or not and die?
Survive.
She said it with so much conviction in her slight voice. Then we don't have a choice. He flicked off his light, and the pair of them stood in semi-darkness, the only light coming in from the morning sun outside. Do you have a lot of friends here in Eugene? Danny jerked at the question.
Not really. She glanced at the floor. I had a few at the old school when I lived with Gran, but once I moved back in with my mom, none of the kids really liked me at the new one.
Colt nodded. That's good.
It is?
She lifted her head, confusion marring her young brow.
How is being a loner good?
It means you're already a survivor. If you can handle going to school every day where no one likes you, then you can survive when food and water are scarce and you can't trust anyone. He could see her thinking over the idea that she was somehow more prepared for this new world than the popular girls who probably shunned her. Colt hoped it gave her courage and strength. The girl would need it. Let's go see what food they have up front. I saw a bunch of trail mix and some Slim Jims.
Danny groaned. I thought Twinkies would be the thing that survived after all the people died, but I was wrong. It'll be Slim Jims.
Colt laughed. I take it you're not a fan.
Danny shook her head. Have you eaten three or four in a row?
When he shook his head, she made a gross face.
Don't, or you'll be stinking up the place for days.
Only one Slim Jim per meal. Got it.
Danny laughed, and the pair of them walked toward the front of the store, each one with a backpack stuffed full of supplies and a rolling cart with a 5-gallon bottle of water inside. When they reached the front, Danny paused.
What about flashlights?
She pointed at a display of little LED flashlights and batteries, and Colt nodded.
Definitely. Good catch.
They opened a few packages and tested which gave off the brightest beam before adding them to their stash.
Now, grab as many packages of nuts as you can fit in your pack, and let's get out of here.
Danny did as Colt instructed, grabbing bags of pecans and pistachios and shoving them into every little crevice of her backpack.
If we know this place is here, why bother taking more than we need? We can always come back.
We don't know that for sure. The National Guard could mobilize tomorrow and demand everyone move to the university campus, or someone else could find this place and do a smash and grab.
There's so much uncertainty out here now, it's always better to be prepared. Colt didn't elaborate on all the potential pitfalls that awaited a girl like Danny. She was so young to be out on her own with no one to protect her. He frowned.
Do you know how to use a gun?
Her eyes went wide as she glanced up at his face.
No?
Then I should teach you. I don't know how easy it will be to find you a weapon around here, but that should be one of the first things we do. The more prepared you are to defend yourself, the better.
You make it sound like it's the Wild West out there, but I haven't seen any of that. Those military guys seem to be all over the place. No one is going to try anything with them around.
Colt exhaled. The more he thought about the military presence in the little town, the more it didn't make sense. Whatever they were doing there, it couldn't just be law and order. There were other places that needed the help more. All the more reason to get out of Eugene as quickly as possible.
Come on, let's get out of here before we run into one of them.
Colt and Danny wheeled their carts to the back door, and after he unlocked it, they both slipped outside. Colt crouched and shoved a shim beneath the door. It wouldn't keep many people out, but at least he'd know if someone else found the place.
As he stood up, he realized Danny had gone on without him.
Shit. She should have known by now not to leave first. What was she thinking?
Colt hustled to the end of the store, but froze when a voice cut the silence.
Well, looky what we've got here, boys. I bet you clean up real nice.
Oh, no.
Colt eased the cart back to an upright position and slipped his backpack off his shoulders. He unholstered the SIG and checked to ensure it was ready to fire. With a deep breath, he calmed his nerves and found that place he always went to right before battle. Whatever predator was out there talking to Danny wouldn't leave the area alive.
Chapter 13. Danny. Downtown, Eugene, Oregon, 7:30 a.m. Oh, crap. Danny stood frozen in place, too afraid to move a muscle. Four men loitered in front of her, all looking like the sort of guy her mother liked to date. The one who spoke to her stroked his goatee, rubbing his fingers down his chin and leering. They all wore black vests, and from the look of them, had to be in a gang. Danny had seen them before in the area her mom lived, riding massive bikes with those crazy handlebars that stretched toward the sky. A motorcycle club, her mother called them. Her mother had been fascinated by them, thought maybe they would take care of her and keep her high. The only time her mom went out with one, she'd come home with a black eye and an empty wallet. That incident told Danny all she needed to know about the men in front of her. They were bad, and all staring at her like she would be their next meal. One on the far left stepped forward. He carried a baseball bat in his right hand, and as he walked, he swung it in an arc.
"How about you wheel that cart over here, and let me get a better look at you? Jimmy thinks you're a fine piece, but I'm on the fence. I don't do scrawny girls. Then you look kind of scrawny to me."
I should have waited for Colt. Thoughts of the man who'd saved her once already gave her hope. He had to be coming, didn't he? He wouldn't leave her there in the middle of the road to fend off these thugs alone. Danny tugged her sweatshirt closer around her body.
"Aw, looks like she ain't gonna do what you want, Steve. What you gonna do about it, huh?"
The guy named Steve sneered at the one who'd called him out.
"Shut up, Jimmy."
A scar ran across his cheek and into his upper lip, and every time he spoke, it curved like a sick grin. He swung the bat again. One of the guys holding back spoke up.
"Let's just take her loot and go. Those army guys gotta be headed this way."
He wore his hair cut short and his black vest looked newer than the others. A new recruit, maybe. Not that it mattered. Even if he stood on the sidelines, Danny couldn't get away from four of them. She glanced behind her. Colt wasn't anywhere to be found.
"Aw, you trying to find a place to hide, baby?"
Jimmy stepped forward, stopping where he stood next to Steve.
"Don't you know you can't run from the rider, MC? We're all over these streets, and we get what we ask for."
He grabbed his crotch, and Danny looked away. A chill rushed through her, despite the sun. "I have to run." She swallowed and pushed the rolling basket in front of her. "Here, you can have this."
"Aw, ain't she sweet?"
Jimmy put his hand over his heart, and Mock swooned.
"Giving me her water like it's what I wanted."
His smile slipped into a sneer.
"It ain't what I want, girlie, and you know it. Now get your ass over here and give me a kiss."
Danny's fingers shook and heart beat so loud, she didn't know how no one else heard it. Jimmy took another step toward her, and that was it. Something inside Danny snapped. Snapshot memories popped into her mind. Greasy palms and dirty hair, rough fingers and violent words. Tinfoil burning, and her mom's scratchy laugh. No one awake to tuck her in or read her story. No one who cared enough to feed her dinner or wash her hair. She'd been so little. Fear smothered her like a wet blanket. She knew she needed to run, but her feet stuck to the asphalt like they'd been baked into it. Where was Colt when she needed him? Why wasn't he coming to her rescue? She'd survived these past few years with her mom by making herself scarce whenever the drugs came out. The fire escape had been her safety net. Every knock on the door meant Danny had 30 seconds to run. She'd gotten good at predicting the type of man by the way his knuckles hit the wood. Hard meant a hothead. Insistent, a drug addict. Soft was dangerous, and Danny had to run like hell. These men were dangerous, and her time was running out. Danny dropped the handle on the cart and turned to run, but her backpack weighed her down. She made it 10 feet before Steve with the bat caught up to her. His fist closed around her hair and he yanked her back like a yo-yo at the end of its string. Her body kept going, while her head jerked, and in seconds, she was flying. Feet off the ground, body in midair. The ground rose up to meet her, and she hit hard on her butt, slamming into the asphalt as Steve held her head a few feet off the ground.
"I told you I wanted a closer look."
He reached down and grabbed the hem of her sweatshirt. But Danny struggled, kicking and lashing out with her fists. Her foot collided with his arm. And Steve cursed. When the bat hit her ribs, she stopped fighting.
Chapter 14. Colt. Downtown, Eugene, Oregon, 7:39 a.m. The second the asshole swung the bat, Colt sprang into action. He'd been waiting, watching, and hoping Danny would get far enough away that he could drop the SOBs where they stood. But she froze instead. Colt understood. Lots of people in Danny's position would do the same thing. But he'd hoped she would have been more of a fighter. She could still learn. As soon as he took care of the wannabe motorcycle crew, he'd teach her to stand up for herself and the best time to run. Colt stepped out from behind the building and aimed at the closest man. Tell your friend to let the girl go or you'll be dead before your body hits the pavement. Everyone looked up. Four men without a conscience among them. Steve, the one holding Danny by the hair, hauled her up to her feet.
I see you've got an admirer. Someone else who wants to see what you've got hiding under all those clothes.
He reached for her waist and Colt took aim. The trigger pulled like a knife through hot butter and the man next to Steve crumpled to the ground. One round between the eyes. DOA. Colt cocked his head. Did you not hear me the first time? I said let her go. Steve pulled Danny close, using her as a shield.
You'll never be able to hit me. Not with her in the way.
Colt resisted the urge to roll his eyes. Just wait. Colt fired again, shooting the one called Jimmy smack in the chest. As the man sagged to his knees, Colt shot again for good measure. That left the silent one in the back and Steve to go. The man who hadn't said a word stared at Colt for a moment before turning to run. Poor bastard didn't even have his name tape on the back of his vest, he was so new. Picked the wrong crowd, buddy. Colt thought about shooting him in the back as he ran, then thought better of it. The scared MC member darted around a building and disappeared. Looks like it's just you and me now, Steve. How about you let the girl go? Steve's eyes were wild and uncontrolled, darting this way and that, first at his dead friends and then at Colt.
Just wanted to have a little fun, man, that's all, just a little fun.
Colt advanced on the guy, all the while waiting for a clean shot. No, you wanted to rape an innocent girl. She's only a kid. You should pick on someone your own size. Danny stood in front of Steve, not struggling, maybe not even breathing. She stared at Colt with a mix of terror and determination. She might have failed to get away, but she wasn't a blubbering mess, begging Colt to save her. If only she would get out of the way. He would have to distract Steve enough to give Danny a chance. Shooting her on accident wasn't going to happen. He'd rather let Steve take her and chase him down instead of risking killing the kid. He glanced up at Steve. The man still held Danny by the hair, the brown strands looped around his hand to form a painful bridle. In his other hand, he still held the bat. It swung back and forth every time Steve turned to look at his dead friends. Colt only had one option. Air marshals were some of the best shots in the world. The government didn't trust just anyone to fire a bullet inside a pressured metal cylinder flying at altitude. One wrong shot a few miles high, and the bad guy wouldn't be the only person dying on a plane. He took aim, and the world slowed. His breath sawed into his lungs like a bellows filling with air. His heart beat low and long like a gong underwater. His vision tunneled and all he saw were the sights and the target. Colt fired, and Steve's hand holding the bat practically exploded. The man screamed, loosened his grip on Danny, and she ran. A tortured yell ripped from her throat as a massive clump of her hair tore off her head, and she stumbled, but it didn't matter. She was free. Colt didn't waste any time. He fired again, and Steve fell to the ground with his friends. Danny ran up to Colt, tears leaving streaks down her dirty face. She crushed against his chest, thick sobs muffled by his shirt. She tried to speak, but he couldn't understand a thing. Now wasn't the time to have a heart-to-heart. Someone, somewhere, heard those shots. They might be on the middle of a street full of closed-up shops, but there were houses and apartments not that far away. The National Guard patrolled on the regular. That no one else appeared on the street while it had all gone down was a miracle. Eugene might be quiet, but it wasn't empty. They had minutes at best. He reached down and pulled Danny far enough away to look her in the eye. Can you run? She blinked through the fear and relief.
I think so.
Good. Grab your things. We need to disappear.
The sound of a truck horn in the distance shocked Danny into action. She ran for her backpack and tugged it back on before grabbing the cart with water. Leave the water!
What? No!
It's not worth your life. Colt grabbed her by the hand. Let's go. We'll grab my bag on the way. He didn't know if they would outrun the rig headed their way, but they would have to try.
Chapter 15. Danny. Eugene Corner Pharmacy, Eugene, Oregon, 10 a.m. If only the shakes would go away. Danny twisted her hands around each other and tried to force her limbs to stay still. It didn't work. Now her whole body trembled. During the entire escape from the four men in the street, adrenaline kept Danny going. Faster, faster they ran, through alleys and backyards, at least a mile away from the scene of the crime. No matter how she looked at it, she couldn't escape it. Colt killed those four men, and Danny wasn't sad about it. Did that make her a monster? Was this how it would be from now on? Kill or be killed? She'd been sheltered inside the nursing home, pretending the outside world wasn't falling to pieces, slowly becoming more and more like the world her mother lived in all the time. Now she sat in a looted pharmacy, hiding behind the counter while Colt searched for supplies. A moment later, he eased around a toppled-over shelving unit with his hands full and came to crouch beside her.
Turn this way so I can get a look at your head.
It's fine.
Nonsense. You're bleeding. Turn around.
Danny begrudgingly complied, twisting until Colt could get a good look at the new bald spot in the middle of her scalp. She winced as he dabbed it with antiseptic. How bad is it?
You lost a good bit of hair and some skin, but it should heal up no problem.
He hesitated.
But I don't know if you'll ever regrow the hair.
It could have been worse. Thank you for what you did back there. She couldn't bring herself to say, killing those men, although she was grateful for it.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I didn't get to you sooner.
It's okay. I'm just thankful you came at all. Colt grabbed her by the shoulders and spun her around. The look in his eyes turned her throat to sandpaper.
Danny, I promised you that I would protect you. And as long as I'm around, that's what I'm going to do. Like I said before, I'd be a terrible dad, but I know how to kill people. That's one thing I'm good at.
You're a better dad than I've ever had. As soon as she said the words, she wished she could take them back. Colt let her go like she'd burned him. She rushed to fill the silence. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I don't know what I was thinking. He stood up in an awkward rush.
It's all right. I'm going to poke around the place, see if I can find any medicine to take with us. There's still a few bottles here and there.
Danny bit her lip hard enough to hurt. She knew Colt didn't want to stay. She could tell in the way he always kept himself a bit apart, how he never talked about what he would do more than a day in the future. No matter how hard Danny tried to hold on to him, Colt would leave, just like everyone did. While Colt busied himself searching the wreckage of the pharmacy, Danny thought about the past 24 hours. She'd been caught stealing food by a National Guardsman, rescued by a badass who then insisted on being her shadow for the rest of the day, took him not only to see the roach-infested hellhole she'd been living in, but then to meet her grandmother. No wonder the man wanted to get away. Today, when he tried to help her gather supplies, she almost got herself kidnapped. Colt had not only saved her, he'd killed for her. She would never be able to repay him. Maybe leaving would be the best thing for him. How many times would she need saving? How many times would he be able to protect her before their luck ran out? He traipsed back into the alcove where she sat, a huge grin on his face.
Cipro and Z-Pak. How lucky is that?
Danny stared up at him blankly.
shelf-stable antibiotics. They'll both last at least 5 years if we keep them out of the sun. There were so many things she didn't know. Any chance you found some Advil back there? Colt winced.
No, sorry, but I bet your grandmother will have some.
Gran. She was probably taking her mid-morning nap, oblivious to the danger her granddaughter kept finding around every corner. Right. So are we headed back there now? Colt stuffed the antibiotics in his pack and crouched back down to look her in the eye.
We're far enough away from the scene that we should be fine if anyone stops us.
You mean the National Guard? Colt nodded.
They'll assume some rival gang took them out. Not a kid and an old man.
Danny hid most of a smile. He wasn't that old. What do you want to do?
First, we're going to find you an apartment.
What? She must have misheard him. Colt smiled.
There have to be tons of empty apartments near the nursing home. It's so close to the campus. Lots of places probably run to students. Most of them left town the second the power went out. The whole university is like a ghost town. Apart from the people I knew there, it's basically all military at this point.
Danny still didn't get where he was going.
So? So there will be a bunch of off-campus apartments full of furniture, with no one to live in them. You're going to pick one.
She raised an eyebrow. I'm going to live in my own apartment?
Beats the hell out of a spare bed in a nursing home, don't you think?
Danny let a full smile shine.
Yes, it does.
52 Houghton Street, apartment 310, Eugene, Oregon, 2 p.m.
Are you sure? It's awfully big. Danny spun around the living room, taking in the view from the corner windows. She could see almost all of the college campus and the nursing home and a few blocks beyond.
It's perfect. All the windows mean tons of natural light, it's got good vantage points, and the building is still secure. The place looks mostly empty, so you won't have to worry about people outing you as a squatter.
Colt walked over to the front door and gave it a thud.
The metal door means you can stay safe. Between that and the concrete walls, you could probably even ride out a fire inside the building.
Danny never thought the end of the modern world would give her a loft apartment overlooking a ton of town. But she wasn't complaining. You're sure we can do this?
Yes. I've been through the desk and the mail by the front door. It's a student's place. She's from Southern California. I'm sure she took the first chance she could to go home. There's no food in the fridge, and it looks like she took her cat. She's not coming back.
Okay, then I guess I'll stay. She shouldn't ask, but she couldn't help herself. What about you?
Colt shrugged. I figured I could sleep on the couch until you get comfortable. A few days, maybe.
And then? He voiced the words she hoped she wouldn't hear.
Then I'll be moving on.
Right. Okay. Danny flashed him a fake smile and turned back to the windows. She wouldn't let her disappointment show. Colt had done so much for her already. The least she could do was be grateful. If he wanted to leave, she wouldn't get in his way. With this new place and more food and supplies, she could make it on her own.
Danny turned back around and exhaled.
So, what do we do now?
Now we clear some space in the living room, and I teach you how to fight.
Chapter 16. Colt. 52 Houghton Street, apartment 310, Eugene, Oregon, 5 p.m. Danny dodged the soft punch Colt directed toward her jaw, and Colt smiled. Good. You're getting the hang of it. She palmed her hips while sucking in a lungful of air.
You really think so?
Definitely. With a little more practice, next time, you'll be able to handle yourself. With her hair pulled back in a ponytail and her ragged sweatshirt tossed on the chair, Danny looked far younger than 15. If Colt had been a guessing man, he'd have said 12.
Mostly skin and bones, the poor girl looked like she hadn't had a good meal ever since her grandmother got sick. What she lacked in muscles and strength, she made up for with innate smarts. She couldn't fight someone Colt's size and win, but she knew how to bob and weave and how to evade. If she could master the maneuvers he showed her that afternoon, she stood a chance out there, even if he left. "Now, we're on to attack." Colt stepped up to Danny's side and grabbed her hand. "When someone comes at you, what advantages do you have?" Her brown eyes flitted to the ceiling as she thought it over.
"I'm small, so I can get away?"
"That's one, but you're also fast." He spun around to face her. "Sam coming at you and you can't outrun me. What can you do?"
"Scream?"
"What else?"
"Kick or punch?"
"Better, but your punches won't faze a guy like me." She screwed up her face and Colt grinned. "I'm over 200 pounds, Danny." Her mouth fell open.
"You are?"
"Yep. To your fist, I'd be a slab of concrete. That's why you have to go for the softer areas. Eyes, groin, feet."
"Your feet?"
Colt nodded. "As soon as we can, we need to hit a sporting goods store and get you some good boots with a steel toe and a lug sole. If you stomp on someone in those, you can break their toes." Danny glanced down at her faded, dirty sneakers.
"Or I could kick you where it hurts."
Now she was catching on. "Exactly. You aim a solid kick with a steel toe to a guy's family jewels, and he'll be rolling on the ground calling for his mama."
"What about eyes? That sounds gross."
"It is, but if someone gets a hold of you like Steve did..." Colt rushed up to her and wrapped his arm around her throat, dragging her back until her body fell against his. Danny fought, but couldn't get away. "Instead of squirming and fighting, what can you do?" She tentatively reached up over her head and felt Colt's face.
"Gouge your eyes out?"
"Bingo." He let go and waited for her to turn around. "If your hands are free, take your index and middle finger together and hold them straight out like a spear. Then jab as hard as you can right into his eye." Danny's mouth turned down and looked a bit green.
"I don't know if I can do that."
"If it's pop someone's eyeball or be tortured and killed, which would you rather?" She exhaled.
"Eyeball popping."
"You're damn right. I'm not saying it won't be hard. Fighting back is the hardest thing you'll have to do." Colt had seen it so many times. Innocent people who weren't conditioned in hand-to-hand combat never wanted to be aggressive. "It's easy to stand still and let someone hurt you. It's hard to take a stand, but that's what you have to do to survive." Danny nodded, but her eyes seemed far away. After a moment, she spoke up.
"Have you done a lot of this? Hand-to-hand combat?"
"More than I'd like, but it's necessary in times of war, and that's sort of what we're in, Danny. The military might be out there now, patrolling the streets, but at some point they'll leave. When the law enforcement is gone, this town will fall back on its Wild West roots. It'll be every person for themselves."
"What if I try all of these things and it doesn't work? I still get captured."
Colt ran his fingers over his lips. He didn't want to tell her the truth, that she might wish for the day her heart stopped beating just for the pain and horror to end. He'd known a prisoner of war. The stories he told. Colt cleared his throat. "Never give up hope. If you're always looking for a way out, you'll find one. Some way, somehow, you'll find an opening. It might not happen right away. It might take longer than you imagine, but if you keep searching, you'll find it."
"Never give up. That's what you're saying."
"The second you do, you might as well be dead." Danny nodded.
"I can do that. The last few years with my mom, they weren't easy, but I always kept my eyes and ears open. It was how I managed."
"Then, if the unthinkable happens, fall back on those skills. At some point, you'll find a weakness and exploit it." Danny glanced past Colt toward the kitchen.
"Any chance your current weakness involves dinner? I'm starved."
Colt agreed and let Danny lead the way into the kitchen. She opened the cabinets one by one, standing up on her tiptoes to see into the back. It had only been a couple days, but Colt was really growing to like the girl. Never in a million years did he ever think he would get some bug to be a dad. It wasn't in the cards for a Navy SEAL or an Air Marshal. Too dangerous and too many missions and trips overseas. Colt always said if he couldn't do something 110%, then he wouldn't do it. Parenting, relationships, his job, The same. So, he'd ended up giving it all to the job. Maybe that had been the wrong call. Danny pulled down a box of crackers, a can of tuna, and a bag of sunflower seeds. She waved them in Colt's direction.
It's five-star cuisine tonight.
His stomach growled, and she laughed. Maybe he didn't need to leave. While Danny fished around in the drawers for a can opener, Colt made himself busy finding plates and napkins. They might not have a dishwasher or running water, but they could still eat on a plate. Danny deserved a chance to grow up protected and cared for. He never wanted to be a father, and he wouldn't have wished for this circumstance in a million years, but people change. Maybe now was his time. Maybe this was his chance to experience a different sort of life, one without airplanes and threats and bad guys halfway around the world. There were plenty of bad guys right here in this small college town. He could protect Danny and help her grow up, give her a glimpse of a grown-up who cared.
Finally!
She pulled out a manual can opener, her brown eyes shining in the evening light. As Danny opened the can of tuna, Colt pulled out the crackers. He piled a handful on each plate and divided the seeds in half. Danny scooped the fish onto the plates, and they carried everything over to the little table tucked against the wall. She sat down and took a look around.
You're sure we can do this? Just stay here and use all these things?
Colt leaned back in his chair. For now, yes. If the girl who lives here comes back, we can apologize and leave. But I don't think she's coming back. Without airplanes or running gas stations, how far is anyone going to get?
I've seen some cars on the road. More over by my mom's place.
It's been over 2 weeks. The college kids are long gone. After the college told them to leave, they did. Everyone else in town had to hear the same announcements. If they had family somewhere, I'm sure a lot of people left. Danny shoveled a bite of tuna into her mouth with a cracker.
But what about the police?
I haven't seen any. Have you?
She shook her head. Not since the National Guard rolled in.
Then I think we're fine. But that's something you need to keep in mind. We may need to leave at a moment's notice. You should always be prepared to walk away.
Danny stilled. I can't leave Gran.
Right, her grandmother. If he hadn't promised the old woman not to tell Danny about the cancer, he would have done so already. She deserved to know the truth. But he couldn't break the confidence of a dying woman. Colt scooped up some of the fish and topped it with some seeds before shoving it all and a cracker into his mouth.
Mmm, you're ready for Top Chef, you know that?
She smiled.
When I live with Gran, we watch so much TV.
Really? I'm surprised she didn't say it would rot your brain.
Oh, she did. That's why there were rules. Cooking, gardening, nature shows. I could watch all of those I wanted.
She scooped up some sunflower seeds and took a bite, swallowing it down with a gulp of water.
The X-Files was the only show I could watch that didn't have to be true.
Colt almost dropped his tuna-laden cracker.
The X-Files?
Danny's eyes almost sparkled.
I've seen every episode at least twice. Gran had a thing for Mulder.
I've seen them all, too.
I can't believe your Gran and I have something in common. Danny paused.
You're into Mulder, too?
Colt laughed out loud.
No, but his partner? Hell yes.
He shook his head.
Redheads, man. They're nothing but trouble.
Danny laughed, and it warmed Colt like a familiar song on the radio. Something he'd missed these past weeks, radio, TV, all the things people used to escape into, gone. Now they only had each other to fill that void. He wished he'd known Danny before the power grid failed. It could have saved her from so much pain. She might be smiling now, but it had been difficult to get here. They ate with relish, diving into the fish and crackers like it was a juicy burger at Colt's favorite bar back home. All the while, they laughed and talked, Danny explaining about her favorite books and Colt sharing a little about his life as an air marshal. After they finished, Colt stood up with a sigh.
It's getting dark. We should head back to the nursing home and check on your grandmother before curfew sets in.
Danny reached for his plate.
Let's clean these up and we can go.
10 minutes later, they were once again walking down the street in Eugene, eyes open and ears listening. It was quiet that night. Not even the sound of birds or crickets broke the stillness. They eased into the nursing home through the same window as before, and this time Colt managed to not fall on his backside squeezing through. They walked down the hall, both light on their feet, smiles on their faces. The place was deserted. Danny leaned into Colt's side.
Just wait until I tell Gran about the apartment. She'll be so happy.
She pushed the door open to her grandmother's room and stepped inside.
Gran, just wait until you hear the...
Her voice caught mid-word, and Colt spun around as he shut the door. A woman stood beside Doris's bed, smiling at Danny. She had brown hair cut like a boy's and wore a trim little dress with a checkered pattern. She looked like she'd been out for a casual date, not roaming the streets of a town on the edge. Danny stepped closer, her eyes almost bulging.
Mom? Is that you?
The woman beamed.
Hi, Danielle. It's so good to see you.
Chapter 17. Colt. Sunnyvale Convalescent Hospital, Eugene, Oregon. 7:30 p.m. Her mom. Colt stared at the woman who looked like Betty Crocker with her prim little outfit and sensible shoes. This was the woman who tried to sell Danny to a drug dealer? This was the woman sent to prison for armed robbery, too strung out to do anything but steal? Colt turned to Danny. She looked as shocked as he felt. He closed the distance between them and stopped beside her. With a smile, he stuck out his hand.
Hi. I don't believe we've met. I'm Colt Potter.
The woman glanced down at his hand, and the smile plastered across her face slipped a fraction.
Becky Wepper.
Doris snorted from the bed, and Colt caught her eye as he let Becky's hand go. From the way she held herself a bit to the side of the bed and as far away from Danny's mom as she could, he could tell she wasn't buying it. Colt wasn't sure if he should either. What were the chances a drug addict who let her daughter go hungry could clean up this fast? Danny shifted her weight back and forth beside Colt. The charming and outgoing girl he'd had dinner with only an hour before was gone. Now she stared at the floor, fingers fidgeting with the cuff of her sweatshirt. He couldn't stand to see her like that, all because of the woman standing a few feet away.
"Danny told me you disappeared before the power went out."
He could feel Danny stare on him, but he didn't look her way. He needed to get a read on her mom. Friend or foe? Which was it? Becky cocked her head to the side.
"I'm sorry. How do you know my daughter?"
"He's my friend."
Danny's words came out surly and thick. She still didn't look her mother in the eye.
"A much older friend,"
Colt smiled.
"I helped her out of a jam the other day, and when I found out she was alone, I sort of took her under my wing. I have a hard time seeing kids go hungry."
Becky's eyes might have matched her daughter's in color, but the fire spitting from them told a whole different story. She glanced at her daughter.
"I know I've been gone, but I've been thinking about you every single day, sweetheart."
Doris cleared her throat from the bed, and Becky twisted around to glare. This woman wasn't who she claimed to be. Sure, she might be Danny's mother, but the Susie Homemaker act? Colt didn't buy it for a second. He reached out and gave Danny's arm a squeeze. The girl had retreated into a shell of herself, barely able to look up or speak. Becky had really done a number on her. Colt resisted the urge to deck the woman and be done with the whole thing. Becky spoke up again.
"I hope you're ready for a new adventure, Danny. I've got some exciting news."
Danny's head jerked up, and she stared at her mother without speaking.
"I've got us a new apartment that's 3 times as big as the old one. You get to have your own room, and Doris even gets to come live with us. Isn't that great?"
Danny glanced up at Colt, her eyes broadcasting fear and confusion. He couldn't let her get hurt. Not again.
"Where is this place?"
Becky smiled.
"The college. The National Guard have been so helpful. They've arranged everything."
Danny reached out and clutched Colt's arm. Her fingers trembled.
"What about Doris's care? She needs a nurse."
Becky glanced back at Doris.
"We've gotten that covered. The staff here are thrilled to discharge her."
Becky leaned closer, and Colt caught a whiff of something floral. Was she wearing perfume?
"You know, it's not like they're at full staff these days."
Colt shifted to catch Doris's eye. Did the old woman want to leave? She sat on the bed, her face an unreadable mask. Don't you think you should talk to her doctor?
All ready, Dave? All the paperwork's been taken care of, and any minute now we should be getting the go-ahead to leave.
Oh. Colt blinked. He didn't know what the hell to do. Family drama wasn't his thing. If Danny's mother was on the up-and-up, then she should be the one to care for Doris and Danny. But after everything the pair of them said about her, how could he believe anything she said? If she really had been with the National Guard all this time, wouldn't he have run into her? He squinted in the dim light of the fading sun outside. Had he run into her and just not noticed? The 2 weeks he'd spent on the college campus weren't the most aware of his life. Most of his hours revolved around Heather and the double bed they shared. For all Colt knew, the woman standing across from him could have been sitting next to him at every meal, and he never gave her a second glance. Just as he was about to open his mouth, the door to the room opened, and an orderly pushed a wheelchair through. Danny shrunk back, afraid of the orderly spotting her, but the man paid her no heed. He smiled and stopped the wheelchair beside the bed. "All right, Mrs. Weber, we've processed your paperwork, and you are all ready to go." Doris straightened up.
"Are you sure everything's in order?"
"Oh, yes. The staff at the college hospital will take over your care and see to it that you take your medicine."
Colt stood like a tall weed in a freshly mowed field, obvious and out of place. How could he protect Danny if she went to live with her mother? How could he not let her go? He leaned down and whispered, "If you don't want to go with her, just let me know." Danny didn't say anything, but Becky did.
"I'm afraid that's not possible. Danielle is coming with me. She's my daughter. I'm her legal guardian."
Colt straightened back up. "She's 15. If she doesn't want to go with you, I'd say that under the circumstances, she shouldn't."
"And where is she going to go, exactly?"
He rolled his eyes. "You didn't seem to care much about that 2 weeks ago."
Danny grabbed his arm. "It's okay. I want to go with her."
Colt started. "You do?" She nodded.
"Yeah." A forced smile tipped up the corners of her lips. "You look great, Mom." "Thanks, honey. Now help me get your grandmother into this wheelchair, will you?"
Colt couldn't believe Danny wanted to go with the mother who abandoned her time and time again and never once gave a damn whether she lived or died. He watched helplessly while they loaded Doris into the wheelchair. Her wrinkled feet curled as they hung in the air, her legs too short to touch the ground. Crouching in front of her, he smiled. "Are you sure you want to go, Doris?" She reached out and patted his hand.
"If Danny is going, then I'll go too."
"You don't have to." Doris glanced over at the orderly standing by the door. He hadn't even helped her into the chair.
"Yes, I'm afraid I do, but don't worry. Danny won't be alone. I'll be there."
She meant well, but an old woman dying of cancer wouldn't be much help to Danny other than company. Colt couldn't help but feel this was all a scam, but he didn't know why or what it could be about. All he did know was that he was losing the one person who came to mean something to him in this world. He reached out and took Danny's hand, crouching so she could look him in the eye. "I know I said I was leaving, but I've changed my mind. I'm going to stay. So if you want to stay, it's okay. Just say the word." She swallowed, eyes trained on his. They were full of sadness and something else he couldn't place.
"I'll be okay, Colt. You can go."
Didn't she understand? She might be fine, but he wouldn't be. He squeezed her little hand. "I'm staying, Danny. If you need me, I'll be there. You just have to let me know." All of a sudden, she slipped her arms around his neck and buried her face in his shirt. Her mother cleared her throat.
"This is touching and all, but Danny, we really need to go. One of the soldiers is outside waiting with a truck. We need to get Doris loaded up and back to the campus before he goes out on patrol."
Danny pulled back, her eyes wet and shining.
"Bye, Colt. Thanks for everything."
"Bye, Danny." She pulled away and he stood up, watching as Becky wheeled Doris toward the door.
You need anything, you find me, Danny. Promise?
Danny turned to look at him one last time.
I promise.
Colt watched the three women walk out the door, and part of his heart went with them. Nausea settled in the pit of his stomach. Danny's mother couldn't clean up that fast. Meth would take days to leave her system, and then she'd be in massive withdrawal with no energy to do anything but sleep. Cravings should kick in, and the woman would have done anything to stop them. He spun around and rushed to the windows, peering down into the darkness at the camo-painted truck waiting outside. Becky didn't look like a meth head. Her skin appeared healthy, her hair vibrant and clean, and she didn't have a single sore. Colt paused. When she smiled, she didn't show her teeth. The door to the truck opened, and a man in a soldier's uniform stepped out. He helped load Doris into the back, and Danny followed. As he shut the door, he turned to Becky. They leaned together, but Colt couldn't see. Were they kissing or talking? He didn't know. Becky rushed around to the passenger side and hopped in, and all of the hope and joy Colt experienced the last 2 days drove off in a Humvee. This wouldn't be the end of it. Colt wouldn't let this night ruin his newfound relationship with Danny. He promised to protect her, and he would.
Day 18. Chapter 18. Colt. Big Sky Sporting Goods, Eugene, Oregon, 8 a.m. The sporting goods store sat on the edge of Eugene, over a mile from the campus where Danny presumably now lived. Colt hated to leave her, but he needed supplies. He couldn't sneak into a fortified facility in jeans and dress shoes, even with all his skills. He crouched in a rear stairwell to a building sharing the same loading zone, watching for activity. The place appeared empty. From the outside, it looked undisturbed, but that meant nothing. The army could have come in and ransacked the place, or the owners could have cleared out the second the grid failed. Colt stepped down off his perch and strode to the back door. His patience had been spent. Colt hoisted the M4 and took a deep breath. He lifted it above his shoulder, and with a brutal slice, he slammed it on the bottom corner of the door. The glass warbled. Shit. He hated to waste ammo. Pulling out his SIG, he stepped back and aimed at the same spot. One shot, and the door shattered, the tempered pieces falling like little pebbles. Colt raised the gun and stepped inside. The smell hit him first. Cloying and heavy, the stench of ripe death caught him off guard. He gagged. No throwing up. Swallowing down a wave of bile, Colt advanced into the store. Apart from the putrid odor, nothing appeared disturbed. Racks full of everything from energy bars to lanterns to every kind of climbing rope still sat full and welcoming. Cases of freeze-dried camping food and the fuel to reheat them greeted him at the end of the aisle. But that smell could only come from one thing, a body. It didn't make sense. Colt walked down the aisle, rolling his feet with every step to keep his sound to a minimum. His pistol led the way, straight out in front of him, ready to fire. Every 3 steps, he swept the area, panning from left to right and back again. With so much stock and so many places to hide, he would never be able to clear the store. Finding the source of the stench would have to do. He inhaled. It was stronger in the back. After looping around the main aisle, Colt reapproached the rear of the store. A customer service bay for returns and questions sat behind the sales floor, and Colt crept toward it. The smell intensified. With his back close to the wall, Colt eased inside the space, skirting the counter as he squinted into the dark. No windows adorned the back area, and the light from the main floor barely reached inside. He would need to use a flashlight. Colt pulled out a little LED number he'd pocketed at the office supply store and held it in his left hand, bracing his pistol still gripped in his right. He clicked the little light on and swept the area. Empty. Advancing toward the counter, he stayed close to the wall. 10 steps, and he cleared the counter. 5 more, and he froze. 3 bodies sagged against the interior wall of the counter, leaning against each other like a decomposing family portrait.
A father, a mother, and a child who couldn't have been older than Danny, all shot in the head and dead at least a week. Colt swallowed. What would make them choose this path? He glanced up. They were rotting inside a store that held everything they needed. Boots, tents, camp stoves, and food. Three people could survive for a year on just the supplies filling the store. Why would they do this? He stepped closer and crouched to examine their bodies. The skin around the bullet holes sagged from decay, but Colt could still make out the stippling around the entry wounds. Close range. Personal. Colt turned his attention to the floor around them. He frowned and peered around their folded hands. No gun. Either someone else took advantage of the situation and pilfered the necessary weapon, or these people didn't take the easy way out. They were murdered. Colt stood up, hand pinching the back of his neck on reflex. Who would kill a family of shopkeepers but not raid the store? He dropped his hand. Someone who would be back. If they hadn't had time to clear the place out, or they needed more equipment to do the job right, then taking out the family first might be the easiest way. Leaving the bodies to stink up the place would keep interlopers out. No one but a man used to gutting it out like Colt would even step inside. The locals? Not unless some militia lurked in the town, keeping a low profile. The motorcycle club was a contender. Colt backed up, handgun ready, before stepping around the counter and onto the sales floor. What did the store have that would be so important? Camping gear, backpacks, fuel, and portable stoves. Everything a group would need to survive in the wilderness or a town without power. Not just anyone could have killed these people. A wife and husband and their daughter? No way. It took callous planning and a disregard for human life. It was one thing to neutralize a threat. That's what Colt had done with the men in the street. He'd saved Danny from a fate he refused to imagine. Colt paused. Danny. If a secret force was building in the town, she would be in danger. He still didn't know what to make of her mother showing up looking every bit the model parent, or the military carting them all off to the college campus. None of it made sense. He felt like he had all the pieces of a puzzle staring him in the face, but he couldn't make sense of it because they were all upside down. But he knew Danny needed protection, maybe now more than ever. Protection was something Colt could do no matter what. He strode into the store and headed straight for the boots. If he was going to scout out the National Guard and find out Danny's situation, he needed gear and supplies. He slipped his dress shoes and nasty socks off his feet and wiggled his toes. Foot health was one of the most overlooked things in the field, but it could mean the difference between life and death. If blisters popped or skin rubbed raw, infection could set in. So far, he'd avoided the worst of it, but his feet would thank him for the breathable wool socks he slipped on and the sturdy boots. After dealing with his feet, Colt headed to backpacks, picking out two packs, a large bug-out one he could fill with all the gear he needed to live on his own, and a tight day pack for critical items that wouldn't weigh him down in a fight. As he picked them up to walk away, Colt paused. Danny should have one too. If there was even a chance she would need it, he should make it now, not later. Grabbing a smaller woman's pack, he headed to the next apartment, ever vigilant for any noise inside the store. So far, he'd been lucky. The light from the windows gave him enough visibility, and he could ease through the store without alerting anyone outside. For all intents and purposes, the place still looked locked and empty. It was only the back door that showed signs of Colt's presence, and not many people had a reason to enter the loading area. Colt walked through the store on a mission, assembling everything in systematic, orderly fashion. Although taking his time meant he wouldn't be ready to hit the college-turned military base until late, it was necessary. He needed to be ready. 2 hours later, he had three bags packed with a litany of items. Sleeping bags, inflatable sleeping pads, a camp stove and fuel, freeze-dried food, water filtration, first aid, bandanas and hats and extra socks and clothes and a million other little things. He'd even changed into tactical gear, ditching the jeans for black cargo pants and the cotton t-shirt for a wicking fabric. With a little preparation, he would be ready for a reconnaissance mission and possible extraction. All he had to do was find Danny first. After hoisting his main pack onto his back, Colt added...